The Armed Forces Radio Service presents Hit the sack, kids. It's time for G.I. Journal.
Yes, sir, the G.I. Journal goes to press with a star-studded staff of your favorite reporters. Lucille Ball, Rochester, Arthur Treacher, Connie Haynes, Private Sad Sack Mel Blanc, Dick Arant of the band, and yours truly, Harry Mitchell, and... Hello? Okay, I'll connect you with the city desk and the man who answers the phone in the Jerry Colonna program. Your editor-in-chief, Bob Hope!
Hello? You say you want to place an ad in our paper? Just a minute, I'll get a pencil. Yes, yes, I got it. Okay, I'll print it up. Well, let's get this paper out. Let's see now. Where's my new sports editor?
Double play, fielder's choice, 3-2, throw the bum out, Buenos dias, senor.
You're the new sports editor? Can you cover a baseball game?
Si, senor. I am Pedro Martinez. Baseball is right up my dugout. I covered the big game last night between the Los Angeles Angels and the Pismo Beach Clams.
Last night's game was between Los Angeles and Seattle.
Oh, they may be Seattle to you, but they play like clams.
Pedro, I don't think you were at Wrigley Field at all.
Oh, si, senor. The first inning was beautiful. The lights went down, soft music began playing, and a pretty girl came out on the stage with very little clothes on and did a lovely dance.
Now I know you weren't at Wrigley Field.
Oh, this was even more Wrigley.
Why, Pedro, you ought to be ashamed of yourself going to a place like that where they have nothing but soft lights and beautiful women with smooth white shoulders and shapely limbs and gorgeous curves and ho, 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 ho.
Oh, boss, I hope you won't fire me because of one little mistake.
Of course not, Pedro. I'm very broad-minded.
That's what I heard.
In fact, I go to a burlesque theater occasionally myself.
Thank you for not firing me, senor. My whole family thanks you. Now they will all buy the G.I. Journal.
Oh, that's fine, Pedro, but we still need more circulation than that.
Oh, we have a very big family. My parents have 32 children.
How come they didn't try for 64? Pedro, boy.
You are comical.
But one reading at a time, please.
We really are 32 children, 16 boys and 15 girls.
That's only 31. Where's the other one?
I don't know. The last time we saw him, he was flying over Glendale without a plane. Well, I must go to lunch now. I'm going to get myself a nice hot enchilada.
Okay, Pedro, and call me if she has a friend. Well, I better get my secretary and go over the mail. Oh, Connie. Connie Haynes.
Yes, Chief.
Well, what's on tap, Connie?
Here's a letter that came to the Loveland editor. You better take care of it.
Well, why doesn't he take care of it?
His wife is chasing him around the block.
Okay, I'll read it. It says, Dear Lovelorn Editor, I've always been a shy, bashful person. I shun the company of the opposite sex. Girls frighten me. Then last week I read your column on women. Now I'm as gay as the next fellow. I seek female companionship without any qualms. Life is beautiful.
Who is that from?
It's just signed Errol. Oh, yes, here's the return address. Errol Schmugglemeyer, Los Angeles, California.
Say,
probably
Chief,
a relative.
Here's another one here. It's addressed to you. An invitation to Lucille Ball's big charity bazaar.
Oh, let's see that, Connie. Dear Bob, we're running a charity bazaar on the lawn of my home in Beverly Hills tomorrow afternoon. I know you won't have any trouble finding the house because my bedroom window is just a short distance from the end of your telescope. Fine thing. That's a low-down line. I wish I had a stronger lens.
anything else in the invitation?
Yes, it says, I know I can count on you for appearing, Bob, as it is a very worthwhile cause and sandwiches are free.
Gee, that ought to be some swanky affair, Chief. Just think of it. All the biggest names in Hollywood will be there. And you, too.
What do you mean, me, too? I've often been called one of the biggest names in Hollywood.
Yeah, but not in mixed company. Yeah.
Well, gee, if I'm going to a blowout like that, I've got to get myself a chauffeur. Say, I know just the guy, Connie. You set up the song page of journal. I've got a little stop to make.
Okay. Here's the wolf call set to music, fellas. A hubba hubba hoy. Every time the lights are low and you start to kiss me, oh, whoa, boy, a hubba 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 hoy. Every time our fingers touch and you start to shake so much, whoa, boy, a hubba 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 hoy. When you get that starry gaze, my eyes begin to leap. I go in a kind of daze, and my heart starts to pound like a jeep. I can't make the whole thing out. Even in my sleep, I shout, whoa, boy, a hub, a hub, a hub, a hoy. Every time our fingers touch, I begin to shake so much.
Oh,
a hubba 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 hoy. When you get that starry gaze, my eyes begin to leap. I go in a kind of daze, and my heart starts to pound like a jeep. I can't make the whole thing out. Even in my sleep I shout,
oh boy,
oh boy, a hubba hubba hubba, hubba hubba hubba, hubba hubba hoy.
Oh, boy. 732 South Maple. This looks like the house where I'll get my chauffeur. I'll ring the bell.
Jack Benny's residence, room $3 and up.
Well, hello, Rochester. Good old Rochester.
Why, Mr. Hope, I'm glad to see you.
Shh, not so loud. Is Mr. Benny home?
No, he's exercising over at the YWCA.
Well, what kind of exercise can you get over at the YWCA?
Those transoms are pretty high.
I thought Jack was more of the keyhole type, but I'm glad he isn't around. I have a little proposition for you, Rochester. I think you'll find it interesting.
At my present rate of income, any proposition is interesting. Come on in.
Thank you. That's a nice sign over the door. You're entering the home of Hollywood's most famous lover. That's a laugh.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. Mr. Benny still goes with girls.
Yeah, but what good does it do them? Mount Baldy hasn't been active for 30 years.
Won't you sit down, Mr. Hope? You know, I often entertain in this room. I remember a party I gave here last Thanksgiving.
Was it successful?
Certainly was. The patrol wagon didn't come till December 18th.
Well, let's forget about that, Rochester. I want to talk to you about something. I want you to do a little job for me.
What kind of employment did you have in mind?
Well, it isn't exactly employment, Rochester. That is not for pay. It's more of a favor.
I'm just finishing an 8-year favor for Mr. Benny.
Well, what I want you to do is very simple. I want to make an impression, so I want you to be my chauffeur when I go to Lucille Ball's charity bazaar.
I don't mind driving you to the bazaar, but Mr. Hope, let's eliminate that word charity.
All right, I'll show you I can be as generous as the next man here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Now I can buy that little house in the country.
You can?
Yeah, that little house in back of the big house.
Well, just follow me, Rochester. My car's out here.
Okay.
What's the matter?
Poor Mr. Benny went out in a hurry today and he forgot his toupee.
Well, Jack doesn't really need it, does he?
Oh, no? Well, he tips his hat. that he'll be showing more skin than Gypsy Rose Lee.
Well, here's my automobile.
What kind is it, a convertible?
No, I drove it to Griffith Park last night. It looked around once and blew its top.
I can't drive this kind of car, Mr. Hope. I'm used to Mr. Benny's car.
Well, what's Mr. Benny's car got that this hasn't got?
Foot pedals. You know, if you press the pedal halfway down, you're in first. If you press the pedal three-quarters of the way down, you're in second.
What happens if you press the pedal all the way down?
The organ plays, "Let's Take the Long Way Home."
Well, we slopped that up pretty well. Okay, then I'll drive you and you be my footman. When we get there, you jump out and open the door for me.
Gee, Mr. Hope, you're not a very good driver.
Why do you say that?
Well, don't you know what that long white line down the center of the road means?
Sure, the good humor man is in front of us and his vanilla is leaking. Well, here's Lucille Ball's house. I'll park between these two cars. I'll back in. How's it on your side, Rochester?
Plenty of room. Come straight back. Back, back, back. You got about a foot.
Oh, well, so I've got a short Essex. Gee, Rochester, look how nice the lawn is fixed up. Tables, booths, and look at that lantern with a Halloween face.
Mr. Hope, that's Arthur Treacher.
Why, hello, Rochester. Nice of you to drop over. By the way, who's your chauffeur?
Why, that's Mr. Bob Hope.
I'm glad to see he's working at last.
Now, just a minute, Treacher. I happen to be well-known in this town.
Yeah, so let's have no foolishness with the silverware.
Are you insinuating I steal knives and forks?
Well, nothing of the sort, sir. All I've heard is that when a person eats at your home, he doesn't know whether he's having dinner with you or the Santa Fe.
Tell me, where can I find Lucille Ball?
Miss Ball is right up there on the veranda.
Thanks, Treacher. I'll go up and say hello.
Oh, by the way, sir. There's a little pool on the way.
Now let's switch over to where the guests are enjoying a little dancing to the music of Dick Arad and his band. Bob Hope has been rescued from the fish pond, and we find him now on the veranda looking for Miss Ball.
Oh, Lucille! Lucille Ball!
Here I am, Bob.
Well, I got your invitation, Lucille. I'm all ready to make your bazaar a big success. What do you want me to do?
Nothing. I promised them entertainment.
Oh, come now, Lucille. I want to help this bazaar. You know how I feel about charity.
Yes, I do. Are you getting much lately?
Well, how do I look? Please, Lucille, look. I didn't write it, you know. Please, Lucille, I have a swell idea. Just give me a booth of my own and I'll sell kisses for $5 a piece.
You sell kisses? Why, in 20 minutes, you'd pucker us right out of business.
Just try me out. Last girl I kissed said murder.
Maybe that's what she preferred. But you can help out in some of the games we've prepared for the guests.
Great. What can I do?
You know those rings you throw around a peg?
Yes.
Just stand there and tilt your nose.
Well, it comes in handy for spearing olives out of the martinis anyway.
There's another thing you can do, Bob. Later in the evening, we're having a tableau. You know, lifelike poses of famous historical scenes. And there's a part in one of them that fits you to a T. It's called The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere.
The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere.
Oh, it'll be beautiful. Just picture it. The curtain goes up, the spotlight hits the stage, and there you are.
Paul Revere?
Not exactly.
The horse?
Not entirely. Arthur Treacher plays the front end, and Bing Crosby plays Paul Revere.
There's not much left, is there? But look, if you think I'm going to stand there and let Crosby make it, he's done that enough already.
Well, Bob, if that's the way you feel, you can appear in an English play that we're giving.
An English play?
Mm-hmm.
Let me see it. Oh, good. It's called I Have a Callus from Riding to the Hounds, or That's Why I'm Tall in the Saddle.
Arthur Treacher and Rochester already have their parts, so let's run through it. Rochester, are you ready to rehearse our English drama?
Quite so, m'lady. Two-two, definitely.
Here, look over your part, Bob.
As the scene opens, the Duke and Duchess of Twickenham... At Twickenham, they are in the breakfast room. The Duke speaks. Oh, dear, sheep's kidneys again.
Dull, isn't it? Sheep are such stupid little beasts, aren't they?
They must be, to let folks steal their kidneys from under them. By the way, where's our butler, Smedley?
Here he comes.
Tally-ho, pip-pip, odds, bobkin, and 3-2 on any 9 or 5.
Congratulations, you got to it. Serve the breakfast, Smedley.
Tea for my lady?
Yes.
Tea for my lord?
Yes.
Good. Do you mind splitting the bag?
He thinks he's still working for Benny. Tell me, my dear, how do you like my new sport outfit?
Sport outfit?
Haven't you noticed? Smoke monocle?
Well, it does set off...
It's written here, that's all. I'm here to do a job, and there it is. What do you want me to do, leave it out and not give her a cue? Smoke monocle.
Rodney, darling, it does set off your pretty eyes. By the way, which eye is it in?
Customary one, middle. I think I shall take off my monocle now. Tight fit, what?
Well, Rodney, today our little boy comes home from school.
Jelly.
He's done so well at school, hasn't he?
Jelly.
How do you think it'll be to have him back at home with us?
Lousy.
Announcing the arrival of Master Reggie, 4th Earl of Twittingham, Squire of Twombly, and better known to his intimates as the Little Stinker.
Reggie, my baby.
Oh, Mumsy, I've been so lonely.
Lengthy little monster, isn't he? Well, son, how are you getting along at school?
Swimmingly, Peter.
How did you spend your time at school?
Swimming. You know, I made splendid strides at Harrow, Peter.
We're even. Now smoke monocle meets that swimming. We're even.
You know, I really have made frightfully big strides at Harrow, Peter. Terrific ones. Last term, they made me proctor of the lower classmen.
A proctor, indeed. What are your duties?
Well, when the little boys raise their hands, I give them the key. you know, I've done wonderfully well in my studies. Passed all my exams with flying colors.
Oh, Rodney, isn't that wonderful? And he's only 43 years old.
You must be hungry, boy. Here, sit down. Smedley, fetch some breakfast for Master Reggie.
Delighted. What'll it be, Master? Kippers, kidneys, sweetbreads, or do you want to eat?
Frankly, I should like some boiled eggs, my good man.
How do you want them? 3 minutes?
Oh, dummy, no.
2 minutes?
No, indeed, no.
1 minute?
No.
I'll get a chicken and let her lay it right in your plate.
Very well, toodaloo.
And Peter, there's something else I must talk to you about. Love. Love has entered my life. I've met a girl.
You met a girl?
You met a girl?
What do you expect, a goat?
Frankly, yes.
Yes, on my last trip to London, just as I was leaving Waterloo Station, I met the cutest little baggage.
Where?
Baggage room. tell me, Peter, what should I do?
If nobody calls for her in 30 days, she's yours. If nobody calls for her in 30 days, she's yours.
I
smoke
heard
monocle.
What's that other one?
Swimming.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to be running along now.
But Peter, I've just come home. Where in the world are you going?
Don't ask so many questions and hand me the key.
Yeah.
Hi there. This is Connie, and here's G.I. Journal's original Song of the Week. It's a romantic ballad, just a little torchy, called Candle Burning Blue. Words and music by Staff Sergeant Roy Brodsky. And I think you'll be hearing a lot of Candle Burning Blue.
Thank you, Connie Haynes. And G.I. Journal's congratulations to Roy Brodsky. And now back to Bob Hope and Lucille Ball, who've just finished rehearsing their play.
Well, Bob, I guess our little English play ought to be a big hit, huh?
Well, yeah, it should bring the house down with us under it.
Let's take a walk around the grounds. Isn't this a beautiful evening, Bob?
Yeah, let's go out in the garden, Lucille, where we can be alone.
Well, can I trust you?
No, but let's go anyway.
All right. Here we are. Sit here, Bob.
Oh, gee, Lucille, you make me feel romantic.
Oh, it's just this perfume I'm wearing. Midnight in Paris.
I wouldn't care if it was curfew in Santa Monica. Oh, Lucille, you look so exciting, sitting here close to me in the moonlight.
Oh, Bob.
Yes?
A penny for your thoughts.
A penny?
Uh-huh.
Will Hayes would pay me a fortune to keep my mouth shut.
Well, if that's the case, we better go back to the bazaar. I've got to check up on how much money we've taken in at the kissing booth.
Okay, I may go for a few of those if the price is right.
I don't think so. This booth is a little different. I've got the handsomest man in the army selling kisses to the girls.
Doesn't anybody want to smooch?
Say, who is this guy anyway?
Well, me, I'm a general, current, lieutenant, Private Sad Sack.
So you're selling kisses, huh?
Oh, sure. I'll kiss anybody for five to did. I'll kiss anybody for five to did. Five to did. It'll cost you 10, brother.
Well, Sack, how have you been doing at this booth?
Oh, great. I've kissed 18 beautiful girls.
Really? How much money did you take in?
Oh, I've made a fortune. I've taken in a pile of it cost me $20.
Say, you haven't had enough experience with this kind of work, Sack. Let me take over for a while.
Lover boy.
Watch this, Lucille. Come in, girls. Come in and get your salad smackers here. Come on, gals. Hot Lips Hope is on the scene. Ah, here's a charming little lady. Step right up, miss. For $5, I'll vulcanize your pucker. And remember, it's all for charity.
Haven't you heard that charity begins at home?
Of course.
Then why didn't you stay there?
Step down, no passion.
Yes, Bob, this is Sack's booth.
Yes, yes, certainly. I've worked in all kinds of carnivals.
When?
before they dragged me to Fort MacArthur.
I tell you what, Sack, here's $5. I'll buy a kiss from you right now.
Okay.
Now you take me in your arms and look into my eyes.
Yeah.
Now press your lips against mine.
It's the tight fit. What?
Well, gang, that loads up this week's edition. Certainly does. Smoke Monaco. But before we go, I want to thank our star reporters for getting out tonight's G.I. Journal. Lucille Ball, Arthur Treacher Rochester, Connie Haynes, and Private Sad Sack Mel Blanc. This is Bob Hope saying so long, men.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.